Now, back to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a first-time guest in the studio, Jim McGrath, who is the founder of Nature Discovery in Williamston. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Thanks for having me, Lee.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Jim, for our listeners, can you explain what Nature Discovery is?
Sure. In a nutshell, we'll just call it Michigan Wildlife Education. So sometimes I describe it this way. We operate a lot like a nature center. This is our home-based business. Operate a lot like a nature center and more, quite a bit more. We travel around the state giving lots of different Michigan wildlife presentations to pretty much all audiences and any venue we or you can come up with. We've been in some doozy venues presenting with these things. But what really, even though we present on a wide range of topics, we have amassed over the course of the years what we call, until somebody can prove otherwise, the largest captive collection or zoo of Michigan amphibians and reptiles in the state. There's 52 species total in the state. This is snakes, turtles, frogs, salamanders, lizards, 52 species total in the state. Right now we're at like 42 of the 52
wow.
species we're maintaining. And I will add, this is not 42 animals. We've got two of almost every one, and there are some that are breeding at our house. That puts it up around 100 animals.
Wow. Are you expecting a big flood, maybe? You know, with the two and everything?
Yeah. Yeah, well, if there is one, we're going to be ready for it, aren't we?
Right. I was going to say, if you see going up in his backyard, you might want to start building.
Yeah. A very large flotation device.
When the water calms down, we'll at least know the reptiles and amphibians are covered for the state of Michigan.
In fact, we got
all the furry animals are gone. No deer, no nothing, but we got snakes.
And a lot of them are really good swimmers, so they can find some other land somewhere.
They might take off. There you go.
Jim, how did you get started doing this? So what triggered your interest in doing something like this?
Well, I'm not sure this could happen for anybody else who didn't have a background like I've got, because I grew up in inner city Chicago, and as early as I can remember in my life, I've had this strong interest in what started out as animals, but animals in their environment quickly turned into that. And what's the irony about that is trying to figure out where that came from, because my mother, she will agree with me to this day, does not like anything that is alive and non-human. She would rather not have anything to do with it. My father didn't have any special interest one way or another. Of course, inner city Chicago, there's no nature around you. I just remember, pigeons and starlings. That's about it. And
I'm just curious. That's very interesting that it happened in inner city Chicago. What did you do as a kid to find animals? Were you just within the neighborhood to finding these things, rolling tin cans around and finding animals?
I have some very strong memories, like, toddler, 3 years old, trips to the zoo.
Okay.
With the family that were very, very strongly imprinted.
Right.
Even those earliest memories I've got, and I've heard somewhere about how memories of smells can stick with you, like be some of the earliest memories. And as a little boy, and I know because we moved from this one house when I was 6 years old, so sub six, I remember two smells in nature strongly. One is the smell of walnuts. Walnuts that drop from a tree. Either of you familiar with that smell? It's strong.
Yeah.
Okay. That smell, our next door neighbors had a walnut tree, and as a little boy, I'm out there collecting them in my shirt, holding my t-shirt up and collecting them, and I reek of walnuts. And that smell, whenever I smell it, pick up a walnut outside, it reminds me of going way back. The other odor is ladybugs. a distressed ladybug. Have you smelled that before? You had to. How can you not?
No. Well, I guess I'll have to pay closer attention.
Oh, okay.
To a ladybug.
Ladybug lands on you. You grab it and pinch it a little bit. They let off a strong odor. It's actually a toxin that keeps other animals from eating them. But that is a very strong odor. There were catalpa trees. I didn't know there were catalpa trees back then. They were, called them. It's a southern tree, but it has a very large heart-shaped leaf.
Okay.
And they're beautiful flowering trees in the month of May. They've got like, they almost look like conifer, the shape of a conifer tree, stacks of white flowers that are sitting up in the trees all over, really beautiful. Yeah. And then they get these really long pods later in the summer hanging from them.
I think I've seen those.
So it's a southern tree, but they get planted on city streets around. So down the street from our house, there were several catalpa trees on people's front lawns that had branches that were low enough, and there were ladybugs all over them. I don't remember this. Ladybugs eat aphids.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet these catalpa tree leaves had aphids all over them, but I'm zeroing in on the ladybugs, and I used to call them the ladybug trees. And go, my mom had set me up with a jar, and I would go down the street. This is like as a 5-year-old kid collecting the ladybugs off of these leaves. And, of course, the odor, again, very, very strong. So here's what I'm getting around talking about this. It almost feels like it was innate for me, and we live it.
Mm-hmm.
We really, really and truly live it, and amazingly, I find this beautiful young woman, you know, when I'm 20 years old, who was totally removed from anything that I'm into here, who fell in love with the nature boy. And what do you know, she just took up my passion along with me.
Yeah.
But in my teenage years, I was becoming very distraught over environmental degradation. Some of my favorite haunts in the city, you take the bus to the end of the line and hit the forest preserves. So mm-hmm. this is what I started doing as a kid older, you know, seeking nature out more that way. But really feeling depressed and distraught. There was a pond. You're familiar with chorus frogs and spring peepers. They're going to be going in the next couple weeks here. We would go, a friend of mine and I would go to this pond at the end of the line in the late March, early April, and go wading through it. And of course, you know, I'm sure you're this way as a kid. You're into collecting these things. Oh, cool. You know, take it home as a pet or something. We wade through this water and we were finding frog eggs for the first time in my life, these little chorus frogs and spring peepers. And it got developed. It got filled in. And a strip mall went in, and I was so upset by that. And I thought to myself, if people only knew what they were destroying.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's where it started.
And where it's come today, you know, I've enjoyed listening to you and seeing you present at the area schools, and you are making a substantial difference. And I think that in a very intimate way, I think there's so many people that are right out in Michigan wildlife that don't even know it exists, and you're bringing that to their forefront. And I noticed one thing we should probably bring up is one vehicle that you use to grab some attention, and that's using snakes as a kind of the topic of the show today, and I thought we better bring it up before your time is out.
Okay,
trying to change this subject.
Yeah, yeah. So why snakes? And you know, what's the reaction from snakes? I know snakes aren't the only thing you bring up in these, but they always tend to be a common denominator. Snakes. Talk to us a little bit about snakes, and then let's bring out some snakes.
Okay.
And let's talk, and let's scare Lee a little bit.
All right. Well, we'll try not to do that. That's counter to why I'm here.
All right. Yeah, but
you seek your level of comfort, which is hopefully right now not out the door. But the wow factor attached to the snakes, and just overall a very widespread fear and mistrust.
Misunderstanding in many ways.
Misunderstanding what it all comes down to. And, you know, this is, I look at it almost the educational nature poster child here for people not knowing, thinking things about an animal that are completely opposite from what it really is.
Right.
Well, I'll jump in and ask a question about snakes. I've long wondered what use does a mosquito serve? And we actually had some experts in talking about that. But in nature itself, what role do snakes play? I mean, how are they a part of the ecosystem and making a difference in that system?
Well, you know, they're naturally part of the food web out there. It's a complex ecological system out there, and these are fairly key predators out there that have got their place in the link of the food chain right there. And so I often say to kids, you know, mice are awfully cute, but they have such high reproductive potential that you're not going to think they're so cute when you're neck deep in mice. Yeah. Luckily, there are a lot of animals out there that are keeping them down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mice have a high reproductive potential because there are a lot of things that eat them.
Yeah.
And their strategy for survival of the species is this.
Right.
Try to eat us all. We don't think you can do it.
Yeah, there you go.
You try to eat us all. We're just going to keep pumping out the offspring. And so, hey, snakes are one of the predators. Some of the snakes, like the black rat snake here, one of the predators that is taking out, you know, small rodents on a regular basis. And this is an adult female I've got out now, black rat snake. She's a little over 5 feet long. They can max out at 8 feet, but I've never seen an 8-footer. And I'll tell you, largest snake in Michigan, black rat snake here, but also one of the gentlest and easiest to handle.
Yeah, I can see.
A snake that is not afraid of people is the gentlest thing you would ever want to meet.
Isn't that beautiful?
This snake has been handled by thousands and thousands of people. You know how many bites?
Zero.
Perfect record.
Of course. Of course.
I have many offspring of different rat snakes here who have never bitten anyone. We are talking cumulatively probably over 100,000 handlings. Never. This is the reality, not the exception. You know and you understand them. You know, you almost can't help but like them. When I meet somebody who says any negative things about snakes, my response to that is, you need to learn more about snakes.
Right, right.
And this is a rare snake in Michigan.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the rarest.
For sharing them. Thanks for sharing.
Okay. We're going to pass that over to Lee pretty soon.
Yeah.
No, I don't think we're going to quite go there. But it does seem to be quite gentle. What's amazing to me is how strong it seems to be and holding itself up against gravity.
And I should mention, this is a constrictor. You really notice that with the constrictors. You can see strength, right?
Jim, we're about to wrap it up. Why don't you give a quick shout out about how people can get a hold of you?
Okay, great. I appreciate that. I'll let you know we have a program going on Sunday, the 11th here at our place, which is 5900 North Williamston Road. It's north of town, north of Williamston. And our phone number is 517-655-5349. You can also get a hold of us through our website, which is very simply naturediscovery.net. Remember .net, not .com or .org. Right.
Right.
Well, Jim,
all right, thank you.
I want to thank you for coming on and sharing this with us, and I'm sure we'll be covering this topic once again, so we'll be glad to have you back in. So thank you very much.
All right, I look forward to that.
We've been speaking this morning with Jim McGrath, the founder of Nature Discovery in Williamston. And Rick, after the break, we're going to continue the conversation and talk with a gentleman who actually has been bitten by a poisonous snake. Boy, that'll be an interesting story. Right after the break here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320 WILS.com.